Even know what we're gonna do for this show today. Justin Fick, he is not here today. What happened to him?
He's like cooking some sort of meat mountain for the Super Bowl tonight.
Oh, meat mountain, huh?
And he is unable to attend the show.
Meat mountain.
So I guess this is really like episode 61 and a half, because there's not really a whole lot of news. It's the Super Bowl. I don't have all my shit here. You gotta go here in a little bit. No Fick. So we're just gonna sit around and bullshit for a while.
Yeah, we're gonna do like a mini show for you, just to put something in the feed, because we think that's pretty important. Now listen, before you go on berating me about episode 61, okay, I tried probably like 100 goddamn times to put that audio in there.
Uh-huh, yes, yeah, real hard to upload audio, isn't it, huh?
It wasn't my fault.
It was real hard to drag the file on a little box and watch it go into cyberspace. It's real hard, huh?
All right, Blake Buck, what we got on the show today?
All right, so on today's episode 61 and a half, we've got William Miller's talking about George Romero, not John Romero, I wish. And I got some assorted gaming news, such as Bayonetta and some Xbox Live announcements. And I don't know, we'll be shooting shit, so who knows?
So first of all, before I get started, Blake Buck, where were you last night?
Dude.
I want to hear the legend. I want to hear the legend.
Well, I wake up this morning, right, and my room is just like an audio bomb exploded in here. There's just like cables and equipment and speakers lying everywhere in here this morning. So like, I was supposed to DJ at this bar last night, right? And so I was DJing and it was going good, but then the owner of the bar like really liked Blake Buck's DJing. So he was like, "You need to drink these beers right now."
100 of them.
So then I'm like loading up my shit, like drinking these beers, right? And then this girl's like, "Look, here's what you do, all right? I'm gonna fill this up one more time, and then you just walk out and don't say nothing." So I'm driving with this like full like solo cup of beer in my car with all these speakers. Get back to my house and unload them. And then it's time for after party.
Uh-oh.
No, I don't even know where this place. I don't know how I got there, but it was like I was doing this. I was DJing for like this like theater group. Point being, there was a lot of drinking, and somehow I'm here now. I don't really know how that happened, but it was great.
I gotta stop you there for a second, Blake Buck. Tumas, I guess that's TK. TK on Skype. His Skype thing says, "I like dick." Just putting that out there. On that note, John Romero gave a talk at the Art History of Games Symposium in Atlanta last week. Now, this is probably, and I didn't go, but I can imagine what this is. Ian Bogos was there. A couple other academic luminaries were there talking about games and art and all that stuff. And that's good. You know, we need to talk about that. Certainly a good thing. John Romero, however, I think might have been a little bit out of place. I mean, this guy, dude, I love John Romero. I don't care. Yeah, there's a lot of hate for John Romero in this business. I love John Romero.
Dude, he's a rock star.
He is a rock star. The original rock star.
Yeah,
I love that.
That's true. He is the original rock star of gaming. Like, there's really nobody before him.
Yeah, and listen.
Yeah,
not only is he a rock star, but you can't deny, like, the man is a very talented game designer.
Wow,
you
know, that's to be debated.
Okay. Look, all you pussies out there that thought Daikatana was bad because it was too hard for you.
Daikatana was not bad. Daikatana was a flaming piece of shit.
Oh, come on. Have you played it?
Yeah, I played it for... I got it on... what's it called? It's on Gamefly. GameTap. That GameTap, that one. And I played it, right? And I'm in the swamp, and I'm getting eaten by mosquitoes, and then I'm dead. It's like you get killed by a mosquito in the swamp because you didn't know where the fuck you were going.
You didn't like it because it was too hard, which
and
is
it was,
a complaint
it was
a lot
ugly,
of gamers had.
And it was like...
Okay. Look, I'm not here to talk about that game, but I like John Romero. He's done some really good work. I was disappointed to hear that Slipgate Ironworks was having to cut a lot of people. I hope they're doing well over there. But anyway,
So, what was the last game he did? Wasn't he like involved in that Gauntlet Legends game on the Xbox? Like the,
I don't know.
The,
I think it was some mobile thing. I want to say it was a mobile game did. I don't know. But anyway, so Romero gets up there and right after Ian Bogos, who I think is at Georgia Tech. He's a professor at Georgia Tech. Probably gave a great speech on art and video games or something. He gets up there, right? You know, in all his glory, his glistening mane flowing behind him. And he gets on the podium, and he's essentially like, all y'all dumb. Y'all need to pump your brakes. and look to the old masters of video games
Which is me.
Oh, no. I mean, this was not a self-aggrandizing thing. He was like, you know, this is what I need to do. This is what everybody needs to do. And so he gave some shout-outs, which I thought were real good. So I'll enumerate some of them here. Bill Budge. He did a pinball construction set. You remember that game, Blake Buck?
Yeah, I remember that. You made your own pinball tables and stuff. It was on PC or something, right?
Yeah, it was an old PC game. Dude, that game is awesome. Awesome. Uh-huh. All right. He's actually on Twitter, too. I don't know his Twitter name, but he's fun to follow on Twitter. All right, we got Mark Turmel, NBA Jam. Mm-hmm. All right, so that's a good one. Dan Buttonberry.
What did he do?
Dan Buttonberry did a game called Mule and essentially invented multiplayer in games.
Uh-huh, yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, yeah. Invented multiplayer.
What? He did.
You don't invent multiplayer. Two people playing a game, like,
he
Pong
made the first,
is multiplayer.
He made the first multiplayer game there. All right, Gunpei Yokoi.
That's a Game Boy.
Right. Yeah. And the thing about Gunpei Yokoi, which he mentioned, was that Gunpei Yokoi was like, you don't need, you know, high-powered hardware to make good games. Mm-hmm. You know, he made Game & Watch, he made the Game Boy, and his sort of philosophy of hardware versus good software has carried Nintendo to the present. I mean, they still don't really emphasize hardware, and not really to their detriment. I mean, that Wii is everywhere, for better or for worse. And, of course, a shout-out to Gary Gygax and David Arneson, the inventors of D&D. I just thought it was a great talk, you know?
Did you actually watch it? Was it, like, a video or?
Well, I read, like, a transcript.
Oh, I see.
But, and they had a good article on it on Kotaku. But, you know, it's going to fall on deaf ears, unfortunately, because nobody makes games like these guys anymore. They all go out and, you know, they get on their... They're unreal, and they make their shooter, and that's it, you know?
Look, that's what I like. All right, I like my guns, my unreal. That's all I need. All right, so I'm looking at George Romero here, and I'm going to list his games that he's been involved with since Daikatana.
It's John Romero, son. Get it right.
I'm sorry. Look, zombies, all right?
George Romero, zombies.
John Romero is ass. That's how I remember the two. All right, so... Daikatana, then Deus Ex, which I guess he was involved in that.
Dude, Deus Ex was awesome. Come on.
Yeah, but that was Warren Spector's game. I don't know how involved he was in that. Anyway, Anachronox, I don't know what that is. Hyperspace Delivery Boy, Red Faction. Oh, Wireless with Red Faction. These are all, the next three are wireless. Jules and Jim, Dig It. And Congo Cube, those are all wireless he did back in 2003. Then Cartoon Network Block Party, Gauntlet Seven Sorrows, and Area 51. So, as you can see, all big winners.
Look, Commander Keen, okay? Commander Keen, Wolfenstein, Catacomb.
Yeah, back in the late 80s, he had good games. In early 90s.
I'm telling you. Look. I will not deny that some of his later work was not as good, but he still needs to be respected, and he was a great game designer in his heyday. But it's sad because nobody's going to listen to him, and that's very sad.
I read this article on Kotaku or something. It was about like working at Ion Storm, and it talked about like working with John Romero on Daikatana and stuff. It was real funny. So they rented out this. There's game studio. They rented out the top floor of this building in like Dallas, I think. And it had like glass ceilings and was like, because they were like this new upstart company with rock star game designer John Romero, right? So they had this like citadel that they that they were in, like, it was literally like the glass top floor of this, the tallest building in Dallas. Anyway, so it was too bright. And so they would cover up their cubicles like with, you know, cloth and stuff. And they lived in caves at the top of this like tower of light. Anyway, I'm sure you can find the article on Kotaku. Mm. It's pretty funny.
All right. So anyway, y'all quit hating on John. He's a good guy. He's doing his job.
All right, so I got a couple of news stories. It's been slow this week. Not a whole lot of news.
It has been. We got Mass Effect coming out. That's the big news.
I know that game is getting all sorts of. Dude, I got this friend. He's like, yeah, I bought it and beaten it 3 times already. I was like, all right, Tim, calm down. Meanwhile, I'm still, what is that game? Dragon Age? I wish I just had like unlimited time. I can't even play these games anymore. It takes so long to play. It's stupid.
You know what game I got recently?
What's that? I got
the other day. I got that new Mario tape. Actually, now, don't laugh now. That Mario tape is real good. Dude, have you played it?
I've not played it, but at the same time, how innovative could it be? You run through the Mario levels that we've been designing for 20 years.
That's the point. It's not innovative at all. It's like they took Super Mario on the SNES, made the graphics better, made 4-player, and then put it on Wii. Dude, it is awesome. It's awesome. It's like you have a couple beers, you sit down, 4-player Mario. Dude, it's fantastic. And they made it like they put some stuff to make it easier for new players to play. Like you have this like you can push the big A button on the controller, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this like bubble forms around you and you can't be hurt.
Oh yeah.
And so somebody has to like pop the bubble for you to play again, but not you can't have like all the players in the bubble at once or like one, you know, they can't be dead or in the bubble. So you have to kind of strategically use it, but it's cool because like say if we're on the castle, right, and you know Nikki, she can't beat the castle, so I'm like, Nikki, get in your bubble. She gets in that bubble and floats around.
Oh yeah, does you like hover, you just kind of like go up to the top of the screen sort of thing?
No, you can like control your trajectory sort of with the Wiimote. You can like wiggle it around, which is kind of fun in and of itself. There are a lot of things like that, like they have sort of the equivalent to the raccoon suit, the Tanuki suit, right, where you can it's like a helmet with a propeller on top, and you can sort of flick the Wiimote up, and you'll zoom up in the air, which is pretty cool. They didn't go overboard with waggle controls, and I think where they did use the accelerometer was real good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fun, dude. You should get it. Like, I had to get my Wii out, right?
Right.
And my Wii's like, I was telling you this the other day, my Wii's like just had fallen behind the dresser where I keep my television, you know, with all those cords and like dust and shit back there to dig it out. It's like goddamn archaeological expedition. Get that. I had to like, you know, dust it off real careful. Fucking fossil that thing back there. But look, I'm getting it has new life now because of Mario.
Yeah. Dude, I need to go get me a Wii, or I need to steal my friend's Wii that doesn't play it anymore. Please give me that Mario tape.
You know what I found out? I actually had to get some component cables for my Wii, because at first I had the Wii hooked up with like just regular AV cables to my LCD TV, and there's like a 90 millisecond lag or some shit when you do that, and so I remember playing like Samba de Amigo. We got Samba de Amigo. You might have actually been there, Blake Buck. I don't remember. We got that game and we played that game and we just sucked ass at it. We couldn't figure out why. It's like.
I think part of it was because we sucked ass,
but the other part of it, I think, was the lag. Like, we couldn't.
When I played Samba de Amigo on the original Dreamcast, I would always hear the same arguments. People go, it's broken. Your thing doesn't work. Your controllers are messed up. This isn't. No, you just suck dick. That's not the same thing. How come I can pick it up and I can do perfect? It's because you suck. That's why.
No. Look. That's a bad game. They obviously didn't do focus testing with that. Had they taken that into a focus test and like half the people said it was broke?
Samba de Amigo is a hard game to play.
Granted, it is hard, but
you got
still.
The key is if you're playing the original, I don't know how true this is with the new one, your hands move in a circle, right? So when you go to the top two circles, you want to hold them more inwards, not outwards. You don't want to make a Y with your hands. You almost want to make like a letter I, where you're holding them straight up to do the top two.
I don't want to think about that. I want to shake them maracas.
All right, fag. All right, so a little more news talking about Bayonetta sold a shitload of copies. Sega posted its revenue, and they're actually up this quarter. Something about their pachinko machines are doing good. I don't understand the pachinko market and its like ramifications on Sega's business. Like, what is pachinko? It's where you put all the ball bearings in a little. It's like Plinko, except like you play it like 100 little beads at a time, right?
I think that's right. I think you put like a little ball bearing in the top, yeah, and it like bounces around and goes in the little
You've got
thing.
A cup of ball bearings that you just sort of like pour them all in.
Now, how does pachinko fit into all this?
Well, Sega is partners in Japan with Sammy, and Sammy is the largest manufacturer of pachinko machines in Japan.
Okay.
And those things are big. They're sort of like, imagine like a big casino slot machine vendor. That's sort of what they're like. So, yeah, it's like Sega's numbers are always directly proportional to how good the elusive pachinko market is doing over there. But it sold 1.1 million copies, Bayonetta did.
Damn.
And yeah, I mean, well, it came out in Japan a few weeks back. Then again, what, like six people own 360s in Japan? So those must be mostly U.S. numbers.
That's probably about what it is. I mean, well, think about it. They did this perfectly. What they did is they took a Barbie doll and they took Sarah Palin and they put those two things together and gave it a gun. And then they stuck it in, like, you know, Ninja Gaiden. I mean, that's like, that's perfect.
I think here's, it's like a new IP, right? New IPs are harder to launch than, you know, an existing
IP.
It's not a new IP.
It's like,
it's right. Boobs. Everyone, it's like, well, I don't know what this game is, but it has boobs, and I know what those are. I can get behind this now.
I saw an ad that I guess I had in on a bus or something in New York City for Bayonetta, and they had like Bayonetta reclined, right?
Uh-huh.
And like laying on a couch or some shit, and she took up the whole bus. Like it wasn't like they had enlarged her. Like her head was the size it was supposed to be, but her whole body was like, you know, took up the whole bus.
Yeah, we were talking about that last time. How like, you know, if like you went by heads, you know, how big her head is to the rest of her body, she would be like 9 feet tall.
And I like that. I like the fact that they took that kind of artistic direction. A little bit of risk. I mean, that is a little risky. Could have turned people off. But look, I think that was good. You know, it gave it a distinct look. Paid off in the end. It was smart.
What I went and played the demo on Xbox Live, right? And I'm really getting into the demo. You probably haven't played a Windmill, but it starts off and you're like, Bayonetta is falling through the sky, right? You're like, okay, all right. And then it sort of zooms out. And you're like, you know, miles above the the ground, falling as angel demons circle you on top of this like giant clock tower that's like falling with you.
I love it.
All right.
I love it.
I can get behind this.
I want that. I want that right now.
The problem with the Bayonetta, though, is it's, well, at least for me, that game's so fucking hard. I played the demo like three times and died all the time. I was like, done. I'm finished now. I think there's a super easy mode, because I remember reading about that. That's what I want, where I just, like, mash buttons and win. Like, I want no skill involved at all. So maybe the demo only has the one difficulty level, but maybe if I go get the full thing, I can actually beat it.
Now, my problem with this game, or my fear of this game, is that it's going to become like Ninja Gaiden or Devil May Cry, and that it's going to get repetitive. Like, I'm going to fight the same enemies, you know, all the time, and the moves start getting old. And I mean, how does it play? How does the longevity of the game?
Well, it's real simple. I mean, one button is shoot with gun. One button is punch with fist. Another button is kick with leg.
Right.
And then you got jump. And then you combine those to do all sorts of crazy shit. And I love that, like, just crazy shit is happening. I don't really know what I'm doing, but, like, oh, you filled up this bar, and now, like, this giant, like, meat locker came up and slammed the dude. How did that happen? I don't know. Yeah, excellent, excellent game design.
That sounds good. I want to get that.
Is it on PS3? I think it's only Xbox, right?
I don't know.
It is on PlayStation 3. Oh, okay. That's probably why it sold so well in Japan, at least. All right.
Oh, I got the demo for Dante's Inferno. You played that yet?
Yeah, I played through it. Well, it's very like gladiator-esque, right? And so you're starting off and you're my favorite part of it, so you're battling these dudes in some, like, bullshit town, Battle of Troy, some bullshit like that, right? And then you I don't know, I forget what happens. You, like, you know, violate some great code or something, and some demon steals your wife, right? And so then you're real mad. And you go to, like, her funeral, and the demons are dragging her down, and you're in a church, and then, like, the whole church just kind of falls away into the bowels of hell, and you start punching, like, devils.
Yeah, we were talking about this the other day. Like, that game follows the Diablo storyline. It's like you're in church, you go into hole in church, and you beat the devil.
And once you've beaten the devil, you win.
That's awesome. Yeah, you are done after that. Sounds good. Man, I want to play some God.
I'm telling you, dude. I don't even know. Why did they announce Diablo 3? And they were like, yeah, it'll probably come out in 8 years. Whatever.
Why are we even doing this show? We should be playing fucking Diablo, man. Fuck this. Man, I want Diablo on my iPad.
Dude, that would be killer.
Diablo.
Killer.
Yeah.
Or even put it on iPhone. Yeah. Zoom it out a little bit, put it on iPhone. Maybe not. I don't know.
There have been roguelike sort of Diablo clones on the iPhone.
But they use the digital analog. There's one called Dungeon Hunter, but it uses digital analog, and I don't like that. Yeah. Give me the click on dude to kill him aspect of the original. It's more of what's it called? Champions of Norrath on the PS2, sort of. Anyway, next article we got, Xbox Live is dropping original Xbox support midnight of April 15th. So I know that, William, you're real sad now that you can't play, Crazy Taxi 3 online anymore. But there's still apparently a significant number of people who still play Halo 2 online. But all that's coming to an end. You're still going to be able to play the Xbox games on the 360 and all that, but their multiplayer components will be gone as of April 15th.
You know what I miss about the Xbox, the original Xbox? It's like when you fire that thing up, you're in the Matrix. Like you're in that energy room or whatever the hell that is, that, like, globe.
Yeah, and if
thing,
you leave it on, like, a while, dude, like, it would make all these weird, like, robot noises, like they'd be talking to you and stuff.
Yeah. I don't know what, like, Microsoft exec decided that was dumb, but they made a mistake, because I like that. I like being that
too,
Matrix.
It's like, family friendly, the Xbox now. I want to go back to the, there should be an option on 360 where, like, Matrix or family mode. Yeah. You know what kind of looks like that is, or at least I don't know about now, but GameTap's interface used to be very similar to that Xbox, like, you know, sphere-based interface. Yeah.
Oh, really?
No more Xbox Live. Does anybody care? I don't think so. I mean, who's still playing Halo 2?
I remember when Blake Buck showed up at school for the first time.
Uh-oh.
He was carrying his Xbox. No. You were carrying your PC, your, like, tower in an Xbox backpack. And to this day, Blake Buck still measures weight and volume in Xboxes. Not the new one,
right,
but in,
like,
the original one, because he was so used
so
to carrying
heavy,
it around.
Right? I think it's like 11 pounds or something. So I know if I pick up something heavy, I'm like, huh, that's about six Xboxes.
Yeah. We got some Xbox dev kits, like, laying around the office. I think Ryan Meyer tried to, like, put Linux on them or something one time, and it just...
Oh, boy.
I don't know what happened to those.
I don't understand Linux. Like, who is going to be on Linux in 2010?
You know what? I tried to put Linux at the behest of my office mate. I tried to put Linux on my old G5 Power Mac, and it just broke my
computer.
Why did
you think that was a good idea? It's not PowerPC-based, or it's not Intel-based.
Like, I think it's like based on the alignment of the planet or something. Like, every few years, I'll be like, man, that would be cool to do a Linux installation. Like, for no particular reason, I'm like, that would be cool. I would have fun with that. And every time it ends in tears. It's just like clockwork. If you want your shit not to work, use Linux. If you want your computer to be
broke. When I was in high
school,
I remember, like, it was like, oh, Linux is so cool. Like, because I know all these, you know, these, like, tech guys. Remember, like, what's his name? That Josh Huey was always trying to get me to put
Yeah.
Put Linux. And so I finally did put Linux on my machine. And nothing worked. It's like, oh, you want to use your keyboard? You got to go get keyboard drivers.
And you remember you had that t-shirt that like
oh,
that had
yeah.
tucks on the back, that your Linux t-shirt that was like three sizes too big for you. Dude, I remember that shit.
Shut the
such a
fuck
dork.
Up.
Look at you.
Look, I'm a man now. I have a big penis.
Oh, you sure as hell didn't back then. My God. Look at you.
Dude, whatever. But yeah, Linux, it's like there's already great operating systems out there. Why are you going to make yourself going through the... It's like, oh, well, it'll be my own operating system. It'll be, I don't have to pay the corporate man. It's like I own open source free energy for everyone. Live free or die hard. Like...
You know, I was talking to Howard the other day. You remember Howard from back in the Inside Mac Games days. I was talking to Howard the other day, and we were talking about some software or something. And I was like, yeah, that's cool, but I got to pay for it. So I use this other software. And Howard's like, well, you know, it makes you think. Most people that are good at writing software like to get paid. And so they're always working for companies that are making paid software. So who is left to write the open source free stuff? The people that aren't hired.
The leftovers.
Right?
Like,
the leftovers, right. And I'm not saying Linux is bad. I mean, it's got big corporate support
now. We talked last show, there's like this, it's called Indemix. It's like Linux made for DJing. It's like Indemix.com. Like, go to that site. Look at that. Indamix. Maybe two X's? Indamix. Yeah, it's two X's.
Indemix.
Yeah, go to that. Look at this. Oh, it makes noise. They sell like notebooks with Linux-based DJing solutions. It's like,
oh, I see this. Look, I saw that tablet thing on CSI. They had that thing on CSI Miami.
Well, anyway,
dude, I love CSI Miami.
Yeah!
They just like they're yeah, dude, that show.
I wish I had a button I could just press. Like, I'd have speakers on me at all times, and I could just say like, looks like I'm going to lunch. I take off my sunglasses. Yeah!
You remember your Freebird button?
Yeah. My computer used to have a Freebird button, so at any time, I was less than one button press away from Freebird.
All right. I think that does it, Blake Buck. We've tortured our listeners long enough. We'll have Fit back next week. We'll do a proper show for you. We'll get this one out as soon as possible. But everybody, you guys go enjoy the Super Bowl.
They'll have already known who the winner is by the time this comes out. Oh, that's
true. We already know who the winner is. Madden NFL 10 prognosticated for us and claimed that the Saints were going to win, which
who dat? Indeed.
Indeed. Who dat? Who dat?
All right. Well, from obviously the best damn podcast ever, I'm Blake Buck. And we'll see you next time.
Weaver.